today's episode of Talking Marketing, we have our guest, Miles Goldman, and I think we should start right into it. And I'll introduce Miles Goldman. Miles is a Boston area healthcare communications professional with experience in planning and executing bold digital media and media relation campaigns at public relation agencies and at healthcare association. He has worked with global life science and biopharma companies as well as healthcare profits in his early career, helping organizations educate their audience, build their reputation, and advocate for government policies. Miles has also been a volunteer with organizations such as Public Relations Society of America, Washington, D.C. chapter. Miles majored in political communication and minored in public health from the George Washington University in Washington, D.C. So welcome, Miles. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great, Chitna. Thank you for having me on Talking Marketing. You know, I've been a podcast producer myself and a host at a different point in my career. And so it's exciting to be on the other side of the table, so to speak.
I'm really excited to have you as our first guest. And this is a new journey for me as well. Starting from this episode, I would be hosting Talking Marketing in association with AMA Boston chapter. And I'm really excited to join this role. And I'm really excited to have you today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be part of the welcoming committee for you to the podcasting world.
Thank you so much. All right. Would you like to introduce yourself? I know I gave you a pretty small introduction, but I really think that you would have a bigger introduction for our audience.
Yeah. So I am, as you mentioned in the intro, I'm a healthcare communications professional is how I consider myself. My career's been about a decade long. It started in Washington, D.C., where I went to school at George Washington University. And as you mentioned, majored in political communication and minored in public health. And I started my career at two different public relations agencies. First, as a generalist, actually working with information technology clients primarily. And then from there, the second agency is really where I began to enter into the healthcare industry space. It's where I had a life science client as well as a nonprofit client trying to gain coverage for them through op-eds. I was able to secure for a client a piece of coverage in the Boston Globe as well. And from there, my journey took an interesting turn and entered into the policy communication space, primarily when I joined a hospital association in D.C. and spent 4.5 years there building up their digital communications presence. So building up their social media. That's where I got into podcasting as well, launching and producing a podcast for the association. And then also spending time building up a patient and healthcare provider storytelling video project as well that could be used for policy advocacy purposes. Most recently, I then moved about 21 months ago now, roughly, back to Boston. I'm originally from the Boston area and joined a global public relations firm called Current Global, and which is a sister agency to Weber Shandwick. It's part of the Weber Shandwick Collective. I was a account director of client experience there. So I took my, we'll talk more about this, I know, in this conversation. I took my media relations experience and my digital experience and moved back into a generalist role, which I was really excited about, providing strategic counsel to clients and really being the client's day-to-day point of contact for biopharma clients primarily. And now I'm in between roles and excited about potentially what comes next and moving forward and having this conversation with you.
I'm really impressed by the career graph that you have so far, and it's really expansive how you have compiled your whole journey and became in a generalist role and have served the company so far.
Yeah, no, thank you. It's definitely something I took a very deliberate path on, going from trying to build up in multiple areas, and obviously we can talk more about that.
Yeah. So your work sits at an intersection of marketing and communication, two disciplines that used to be distinct. How do you see the convergence of these functions evolving, and how has it influenced the way you approach brand storytelling or campaign development?
Well, the intersection of marketing and communications was something that was already happening when I entered into the field, and it's only continued during the past decade. There's been a lot of talk in the industry about communications and marketing departments and how they interact with each other, and whether communications should report to marketing or sit adjacent to marketing, or whether marketing should report to communications. And I think we get sometimes a little bit caught up in turf wars, so to speak, a little bit too much. What really just ultimately matters, no matter how the organization is structured, is that they be coordinating with each other and playing off of each other. The best approaches start with thinking about who are our audiences, what do we want them to think and feel through our messages, and then from there, thinking about strategy more specifically, and distribution tactics. And we need to be able to pull different levers. So in my career, I've had the opportunity to do digital advertising, digital social media in particular. Traditionally, that would have been thought of as a marketing type role, but it made sense in when I deployed the paid social media ads as a way to expand the audience beyond just the audience that we already had built reputation with. And so I think it's important really to think through what those different levers are, as I mentioned before, to really think, earned media isn't always the best tactic. We might need to use tactics that are more traditional marketing. We're also seeing, for example, in healthcare, which is my background, and I know yours a little bit as well, we're seeing more around healthcare influencer marketing, but being done from the public relations perspective. So I've worked before with biopharma clients on planning campaigns that were going to hire a healthcare provider influencer who's an influencer on TikTok or on Instagram, and we're going to build a campaign around them that allows them to share health information with patient audiences that they already have built trust with. So again, that's a marketing to PR example, but I think that's just another way we're seeing that integration. And then meanwhile, on the other side of things, marketers also need to think about, we talk about the four Ps in marketing. PR and communications especially comes in on the promotional side of that. And marketers need to think beyond paid media in this AI era. And I want to I think there's a stat from a recent Muckrack report. Muckrack, for those who aren't familiar, is a public relations software company. And Muckrack, in a recent report on AI, found that more than 95% of sourcing that generative AI platforms such as ChatGPT do, the sources are non-paid sources. Their news coverage, their investor reports, their potentially blog posts on your website. They're not sponsored content. They're not paid advertising, just in very rare cases. So marketers also need to think about how can we use more earned content and an earned first approach in order to reach our audience.
That is actually pretty eye-opening. That is an interesting thought. Thank you so much for sharing that, Miles.
Course.
Do you think the modern marketer needs to be equally fluent in communication strategy and execution, or is still there like room to specialize? How have you balanced those skill sets in your own work?
Well, I'm on team generalist, Chetna, and that can be seen obviously in my career path, but I'm especially on team generalist and really having at least a solid foundation across skill sets, especially in this AI era, which means potentially, and we could have a whole podcast just on this, but potentially and unfortunately, but it's something we have to be mindful of, that there may be fewer people in the future in public relations and in marketing, as AI is able to do more of the rote tasks that are in the industry, such as, in communications, for example, media monitoring, putting together news coverage reports. But so I think it's important to be able to have multiple skill sets. And what I mean by that is, for example, when there's news coverage about your client, the ability to think through, well, what are we going to do now? We didn't, now that we have the news coverage, what are we going to do with that news coverage to continue to build momentum? For example, are we going to be able to, share that news, with our followers on social media or in a newsletter, I think is really important. And I mentioned before, even just influencer marketing. I think again, this is, how do we combine, an influencer campaign that we might be doing? Could we get earned media for that influencer and the work they're doing? So really having it be, your marketing and communications be an orchestra that's playing that is really fine-tuned. And I'll share this sports analogy as well, since I'm a big sports fan. No one, of course, is going to be a Hall of Fame, player in every skill. You're not going to have, Hall of Fame skill set across all skills, but you want to have at least solid, a solid skill set baseline across skills, and then obviously, of course, be excellent in quite a number of skills.
Rightly put. May I ask, what sports are you a big fan of?
I'm a big baseball fan. I'm a big hometown team Red Sox fan. I have been since I was very young here, and being from the area.
That sounds good. I've been a baseball fan myself too. That was the first sports that I started to watch when I first came to US. So I think I have a special connection with baseball too. I'm really glad this is another one of our points where we are in a similar category.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. No, I certainly love talking baseball. If you ever do a talking baseball podcast, let
For sure, in the future, I might just.
me know.
Before we dive into our next topic, I just want to take a quick moment and thank our listeners for tuning in. And if you're enjoying this episode, don't forget to hit subscribe so you never miss an update. And hey, if you got a burning marketing question, drop us a comment. We might just feature in a future podcast. I see, Miles, that you have cultivated a clear professional identity on LinkedIn. What has been your approach to personal branding on that platform? And how can marketers make it a tool for a long-term positioning and not just job search visibility?
Yes, I'm a big fan of LinkedIn, Chetna. I think certainly it has its drawbacks. It's not a perfect platform. They're very slow often to evolve. They were very late on trying to push video, for instance. But I think it has so much potential from a professional branding and career development standpoint that goes well beyond just as a job search tool, which is how still probably the average person, uses it. I think, as I, worked to increase my brand on LinkedIn, I really asked myself one question: what do I want to be known for? And in my case, I wanted to be known as a healthcare communications professional. And so all of the content that you see me posting about on LinkedIn, or even generally engaging with on LinkedIn, falls into ideally both of those buckets, but not always, but at least into one of those two buckets, either healthcare or either communications. So I'm pretty deliberate about what I'm talking about, what I'm posting about. One of the things I do to try to, be able to come out with a steady stream of content is I have a running list that I keep of topics as they come to me. As I'm reading news articles or seeing other people's posts on LinkedIn, ideas come to me, or just going about my workday, ideas will come to me. So that's really how I keep, the flow of content going. There's a growing number of people who I have connections with now, professional relationships with, but I've never met with them on, in person, or even had a phone call with them. It's all been through engaging with them on LinkedIn, whether it's commenting on their posts, which I think is a really important element too, that people often overlook, or whether it's just DMing with them, through LinkedIn. I've been able to build those relationships, and there's so much potential from both the corporate and the executive communication side. From the corporate perspective, corporate pages on LinkedIn really have the chance to establish themselves, for example, as an attractive employer to employees by cultivating a strong LinkedIn presence. Meanwhile, at the individual level, there's a huge amount of potential for executive communications and thought leadership. In this era, people often want to hear more from an executive, and really the executive has more power in a lot of ways than even the brand itself. Oftentimes, we see that often, especially with tech companies today. And so, people want to hear from their from executives, and LinkedIn is a great way in a professional setting for executives to engage with their stakeholders, engage with prospective and current employees, engage with investors, engage with industry partners and potential customers as well. So overall, I think if you are not investing in LinkedIn as an organization yet at both of those levels, I think that's really something you should be taking a look at.
This has really inspired me to take a better shot at improving my LinkedIn and not just making it about the career graph that I have. The storyline is, I think, very important in current days. But before we move forward, Miles, I'm dying to know how many tabs do you currently have open right now? Because as a marketer, I swear my browser is just a graveyard of half-finished ideas and I'll get to it later tabs.
It's funny you ask. Oh yes, I hear you. I'm often battling the same challenge. Ironically, I just have like two or three because I rebooted my computer shortly before this conversation. So it's not fully representative of what the normal situation is. I hear you. We're constantly juggling on projects.
So many projects, it's never ending. Moving on. There's a fine line between authenticity and oversharing on LinkedIn. How do you decide what to share professionally and what stays offline?
I had a professor in college who used to really challenge us by saying, tell me your analysis, not your opinion. Really pushed us to go beyond, and that's especially important in a degree program such as political communication, where it's very easy to slide into just overall your political feelings rather than your analysis, professional analysis of a political or policy situation. And so that has stayed at the forefront of my thinking to how I approach LinkedIn. It's, I always want to be delivering value to my audience, to the people who are following me or are connected with me. And so that's at the top of my mind. Is this post that I'm doing, or this comment even, is it adding to the conversation? It's not good enough, in my opinion, to just be posting for the sake of posting. And so that's really what I want to do. And I think there's still a way to be authentic in the process of doing it. I am giving you my true analysis of a situation, but where the oversharing, can come in is I really stick to my North Star, which is I want to be known for healthcare communication. So it means that I don't slide into really other areas outside of healthcare and communication, that I stay disciplined. I try not to get honestly put into discussing directly politics. I post a lot, to be clear. I post a lot about politics, but it's always from the communications analysis perspective, and I stay out of my own personal opinions around the political or the policy issue, because I think that's really what, my audience wants, is they want communications analysis from me. Everyone's, has their certainly their own opinions these days about the political and policies themselves.
I think how you started by mentioning that your professor once told you, give me an analysis and not your opinion. I think with me and our listeners, it's gonna stay with us for a very long time because you're right. A lot of people want to offer their opinions of how they feel about a situation, but LinkedIn is definitely not our platform for our opinions. It's more of an analysis. Especially if you're a marketer trying to tell a story from your own viewpoint, you have to make sure that analysis is there and not just purely filled with opinions. Thank you so much for making such a great point, Miles. Really great point that you brought up.
And I'll just, sorry, and I'll just, I want to just add to that. I'm seeing more, given the politically charged times that we're in, I'm seeing more slipping into, frustrated, people posting emotionally on LinkedIn a bit more, whether it's frustration around politics or frustration around job searching. And I think, My opinion certainly, and others might disagree, but I think my opinion is this per am I doing a venting session? I think I would ask folks, or am I providing business value? And I think that's the question to always ask when you're just doing those types of posts.
Rightly put, Miles. I'm really interested to know what originally drew you to healthcare marketing in particular. Was it a personal connection, a market opportunity, or something just clicked with you once you got into work?
Well, it was the debates around the Affordable Care Act really were what got me interested in healthcare policy originally. And so that's why I pursued my minor in public health. I really wanted to understand the different policies, the pros and cons that were being discussed, and going from there. And, once I got into healthcare, I really have come to love how healthcare communications and marketing is just so is just so personal and touches everyone's lives. You can't Health affects everyone, and the ability from a healthcare marketing and communications perspective to be able to help people in their health journey, providing them information, for example, on connecting with a patient advocacy organization that might, provide them community as they go through receiving treatment for a disease, or understanding what their treatment options even are, I think is something that's really, really special, and where we're able to have such a huge impact on people. It's more than just about, in healthcare marketing and communications, selling a product. We actually have a mission behind our work, and that's just so important to.
I agree with you on that front. Talking about advice for our young professionals who are listening, who are just stepping into the marketing roles today, what's one skill or mindset you think is undervalued but critical, especially in industries like healthcare, where clarity and trust are essential?
Well, I love speaking with young professionals. I've been fortunate to have the opportunity to, guest lecture a couple of times here at schools here in Boston, and engage with young professionals who are entering the field. And I always have a few thoughts around this. I know you only asked for one, but it's a topic I really enjoy talking about. So I'll try to provide here a few quick thoughts. And first, actually, is you need to be passionate about the field, and it's really important if you're going to go into this too. I like to tell people, don't be, and I'm going to use another sports analogy, but don't be a spectator to your own career. Really dive in, learn everything you can, absorb. Fortunately, we're in an era where there are so many online resources. Just reading up on the news, whether it's in my industry in communications, thinking about reading trade publications such as PR Week, for just an example, or PR Daily, or reading Axios has a great communications newsletter if you're looking to dive in more, and that's free, their weekly newsletter. Or there's certainly is Ad Age and different publications as well on the in the advertising, more marketing side of things. So I that's what I would say first is, and LinkedIn is great for that too, just following people who are already leaders in the field, and seeing what they're talking about and where the industry's going. So that's my first thought on this. Another one is writing. Even with AI and everything that's going to happen, writing is still the bedrock of marketing and communications. At the end of the day, generative AI, if you're not careful, it will just produce generic content that is, because it's only basing on what already exists in many cases right now. So if you're not careful, it will produce generic content that is, only okay and can't stand out in a very crowded landscape that is only going to become more crowded when it comes to information. So strong writing is really important in order to break through. And I will say too, you need strong writing as well, just internally, to write a memo to your boss to convince them that they should do the campaign, for example. So writing's a really important, is the most important skill. And then third, I also think young professionals need to be making sure they develop their soft skills, emotional intelligence, critical thinking, problem-solving skills. I think, unfortunately, the pandemic, I think, was disruptive for a lot of people when it comes to developing those skills that sometimes only can develop in a mostly in-person format. And so I think it's really important to, really think through, trying to find ways to develop those skills by interacting more with people, certainly interacting more with them in person. I'm a big proponent of internships wherever you can. Fortunately, internships more and more are becoming paid, which is certainly, in my opinion, a good thing. And so I think, really developing those skills, because you need those skills because you need to be able to understand context and how people are feeling in order to effectively communicate with them and effectively executing marketing and just for your own career progression. And on a somewhat similar note, I'll sort of conclude my thoughts on this by sharing that make sure, with a little career advice, make sure when you're interviewing for a job, make sure you write a thank you note. I know sometimes there's been some debate about this, and thank you notes seem to be going out of style. I don't think they should. I think it's a way that you just show consideration for the interviewing team. And really, it's another way to express your interest. If you're not sharing a thank you note, you're sort of leaving off the table a way to reinforce the message that you're interested in the job as well. So I would say always make sure you're sending thank you notes, as and email's fine nowadays, certainly. But make sure you're sending out those thank you emails shortly after the interview.
That's really sound advice, Miles. All the points that you picked up, I have been facing those points myself in my life. I recently picked up writing, so and it in immensely improved my talking ability in a very short span. I was really amazed at that. But not so amazed because I used to write pretty great while I was in high school. I don't know why I stopped, but I'm really glad that I'm like going back to writing. And yeah, all these points, they really make sense, as I think for a new professional or for a seasoned one, all the phases of our marketers, I think this advice puts in pretty great.
And something you said there, I'll just quickly add something you said there, this about your high school writing experience and then now trying to get back more into writing. One of the things that sometimes I think we're at risk for from our high school and college experiences is writing for length rather than writing for clarity and being a concise writer. And so I think it's important if you're, a young professional just entering the field, that you recognize that how you wrote in college, where sometimes professors require, and I wish they did this less honestly, but how they require, well, it must be 5 pages or it must be 10 pages. I recognize they're trying to make sure you do the work, and that certainly is understandable. But in our field nowadays, people, we all know people have very short attention spans. And so what you really need to do from a pure writing perspective is learn how to write concisely and for clarity rather than for length.
That makes absolute sense. Professors, if you're listening in, please don't make us write 5 pages long essays on one single topic. We can write for clarity and not for length. Moving forward, I think the last question for today would be, with the landscape evolving so quickly, what's one emerging trend or shift you think young marketers should start preparing for now, even if it hasn't gone mainstream yet?
Well, the easy answer to this question, Chetna, is AI and preparing for it. And I certainly think that's something young marketers absolutely should be doing, is really sharpening their skills around prompts for AI, generative AI applications, and also learning how to build applications using AI. So I think that's all important. But I do want to take this question a little bit of a different direction, and give, I think, the audience something a little different to chew on here, just thinking beyond AI in terms of trends. And that is the loneliness, and a lot of people would call it an epidemic here in the US, the challenge of loneliness in this country, I think presents actually some interesting opportunities for marketers and communications professionals to help address this challenge while also supporting their organizations. There's, we're seeing more news coverage around loneliness, and there's stats to back it up. The American Psychiatric Association has found in a survey within the past couple of years that 30% of American adults are lonely at least once per a week. And Gallup, in a separate survey, Gallup polling, found that 20% of Americans are lonely at least once per a day. So loneliness is a major challenge in this country. And so I think there's really an opportunity for marketers and communications professionals to create more in-person events that can bring people together where they'll have more of an opportunity to learn and engage with information and build important relationships with each other. And from the marketing perspective, there isn't just societal benefits out of this. There's also the potential benefits for your brand. McKinsey put out a report just earlier this summer around the idea of earned attention and found that in-person experiences are the best way where you can have your audiences earned attention and focus, where they're not going to be multitasking. And so based on that McKinsey report, I think it shows that there are benefits to marketers and their organizations as well that go beyond just the societal good, which is that if you put together an in-person experience, a conference per se, you really have a chance to have the information that you're sharing really stick with your audiences in a way that it might not if you're, just putting out a social media piece of content that they can just quickly scroll past while they're, kind of half multitasking.
That actually makes me think about how Airbnb, I think, when they first started, they had a section where I think they still do, where they host experiences across towns and cities so that a whole day would be like it's an experience where it might be a cooking class, a pasta class, or like a wine tasting class. And I think that's one of the ideas about Airbnb that I really enjoyed. But when you back it up with stats like that, it makes more sense now that the comprehensive image that was to make sure that people don't feel lonely. And so the idea of being lonely seems a bit as a foreign concept to me. But yeah, I guess that's why Airbnb had that feature on their app. I have to find it out if they still do.
Well, and it's interesting on the healthcare side of things too, like thinking about a company such as SoulCycle, bringing people together to, to do fitness together, I think is again where we kind of see how there's, you can really bring people together in healthcare and support their health potentially. Brands have a real opportunity to do this while also, building those connections, again, from a more social perspective. So I think this is really just an area where I think, I think there is going to be a bit of a reversing of the trend here of everything being online and everything being on Zoom. And I know it's ironic because, of course, that's how we're recording this is virtually, but I do think there's going to be a shift back in some respects to some more in-person activities because I think deep down socially, people want it in a lot of ways.
That is true, given with our environment right now, people need people to step in and make sure that we all have a community around us. This was an eye-opening conversation with you, Miles. I have enjoyed, and I'm pretty sure our listeners too have enjoyed this journey with you, talking about marketing and healthcare and the intersecting point where they both join forces and learning about how it's not just marketing, it's not about public relations. It's both these things working together hand in hand, making sure that, again, the whole story that we are portraying to our audience is one complete and not in different segments that they have to continuously check on in. Any final thoughts that you have for our listeners, Miles?
Yeah, I like how you just put that, Chetna, where it really is about integration. It's about coordinated campaigns. It's about pulling the right marketing communication levers at the right time, and being strategic about which which of those levers to use, and not being in silos, not just thinking, oh, this is only a marketing thing, so we can't do it, or this is only a communications thing, so we can't do it, but really thinking about what is the best campaign that is going to lead to the best results. And those results, and we didn't really talk too much about measurement in this conversation, but those results, need to ultimately tie back to business objectives. And marketers have traditionally been better at that than communications people have been. But it's something in the communications industry we're really working on too, is to make sure that we're tying back at the end of the day to business and organizational objectives, and not getting caught up in, just impressions and vanity metrics that don't really more directly tie back to business results.
You are rightly compressing our whole conversation. Vanity KPIs don't make sense if the audience is actually not checking out your website, is not directly engaging with you. Instagram likes and reaches, I think, only means so much only when they convert to a sales or convert to a direct engagement. But yeah, this has been a really lovely journey. I feel we took a journey. We covered so many topics and not just one thing. It was a lot of things. And yeah, it has been really nice.
Likewise, I feel the same way, Chetna, and it's been a great conversation, and thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being my first guest. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on this channel. And I will make sure our listeners, by hook or by crook, listen to this conversation. No, just kidding. But yeah, thank you so much, Miles, for this lovely conversation. It has been a real pleasure having you as my first guest on Talking Marketing. And I'm really excited to see you in our respective fields and cross paths with you again.
Thank you, Chetna.
Thank you so much, listeners, for listening to us in the first episode of Talking Marketing this season. I'll see you in the next episode. Stay tuned.
If you enjoyed this episode of Talking Marketing and you want to hear more of our conversations with marketing professionals, subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other major podcast platform of choice. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube as AMA Boston. And most importantly, if you'd like to support the work we do here, please consider becoming an AMA Boston member by heading over to amaboston.org/become-a-member. AMAboston.org is also the number one place to find all of our work, including the AMA Boston blog, events calendar, job board, and a whole suite of ways to volunteer with our team. We get to keep doing this thanks to the support of listeners like you. Thank you.